بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت عثمان ابن ابی شیبہ عباس رضی اللہ عنہ علی رضی اللہ عنہ in one sitting, and naturally the discussions of the Sahaba Ikram were things to do with the Akhirat, divine proximity, closeness to Allah Ta'ala, making the Akhirat and making the ride to the Akhirat more smooth. This was the crux, this was the theme of their discussions. It is important that more than just reading, we try and understand the mansha and the flavor of this Buzrugan Adeem that is being filtered. One is we listen to the stories or we relate hadith. But more than that is to understand and try and grasp what is the essence. In the words of Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ. Knowledge is not just about a lot of transmission, a lot of information. Unfortunately, this is what has become of knowledge. To listen to something new, something more exciting, something more adventurous, right? But that's not what knowledge is all about. Innama huwa nurun, it's a light that will permeate the heart. Many a times the light is visible, right? And many a times the light is not visible. So that light that Allah inserts, instills into the heart, everything becomes bright, you can see it, but the light itself is not perceived. But you begin to see things in perspective. Like the Quran Sharif says, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you have the concern and the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, I've translated the word taqwa as concern. Right? So if you have that concern, that consciousness, that fikr, right? See, amma man a'ata wattaqa wa saddaqa bil husna is being compared against amma man bakhila wastaghna. Taqwa against istaghna. So istighna is to have an attitude, right? I'm not concerned. What happens to you, not concerned? So then the opposite of not being concerned is to be concerned. Right? If you compare the both, then this is the understood meaning, right? That you have a genuine concern. Concern about what? Concern about Allah Ta'ala, Akhirat, Jannat, your journey to the next world, you have a genuine concern about it. And this concern is such an important thing. A person is going for a holiday today to Cape Town. He's earning good money, so he's asked me, but you know, how can I be consistent? Do the thing and do it properly. Because you find fluctuations, sometimes coming up, going down, coming up and going down. So I don't like to give solutions that are complicated, simple, man can understand it. So I asked him, but you know, you're an accountant, right? So normally accountants work 5 days a week. Right? Do you find an inconsistent pattern in your work? Or you find a consistent pattern? No, it's a consistent pattern. So I asked him, but what makes you so consistent about the pattern? You're consistent. Monday comes 9 o'clock, you're pulling into the office, staying there till about 3 or 4 o'clock, but you're doing it, your head's on, mind's on. So what makes you so consistent? So the concern. So the, when the concern becomes overwhelming, then you get the consistency. But if there is a deficiency in the concern, then there will be an inconsistent pattern. See, that concern in him about a livelihood, looking after the children, etc., that became an overwhelming thing. So it became overwhelming, now it brought about a consistent pattern. And in the words of the Quran, you call that istiqamat. And that istiqamat is the thing that is desired. That is what you're supposed to be getting, one consistent pattern right through. Not fluctuations, coming up, going down, coming up, going down. So anyway, these Sahaba Ikram, so there's two notable things in them. One is istiqamah. Whatever they did was a consistent pattern. Now this consistency is very much desired. Very much looked forth for. Very much desired. Right? And really, in the words of our awliya, this is the stepping stone to progress. Right? They would say, Maamulat ki pabandi, tarakki ka zina hai. Right? And when you talk about maamulat, then the maamulat are the things that the mashayikh will recommend. These are what they have recommended, and you are consistent one. That's called maamulat. Whatever they have recommended. Do some kitab reading, do some zikr, do some nafil namaz, whatever they have prescribed. Whatever they have asked you, but just do it consistently. Leave this thing out. Maamulat doesn't mean only the do's, but the don'ts as well, what they ask you to leave out. Leave this out here, don't do this, don't get involved in this. They asked you to leave some things, and they asked you to do some things. So whatever the teachings were, the teachings, in the teachings there is a consistent pattern. Don't do this and do this. Don't do this and do this. Ustaz Rahmatullah Ali gave a story of one sheikh that that trained and corrected his murid for a long period. And asked him, now you move on to Kabul. You move on. Not Kabul. Multan. Go to Multan. So go and spread Islam in Multan. Now when we talk about service to deen, mujahada, right, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا, right? So what is the essence of juhud? What is the essence? Sometimes these things have to be spoken about so that you may understand and appreciate the work that you are doing. If you don't know it, then you will either become despondent or you won't appreciate, right? So the meaning of juhud means, right, one is to strive, right? But what it would translate into, it would translate into two elements. One is the preservation of deen, right? So the preservation of deen at every level and any level, personal level, domestic level, social level, international level, national level, but preservation of deen, right? And the second element of juhud is the propagation of deen, promoting or propagating. So one is preserving, and one is promoting, right? So everything will be covered, right? Preservation and promoting. So promoting and preserving will happen in different forms. Sometimes through a madrasa, sometimes through jamaat, sometimes through writing, sometimes through bayans, whichever way. But the idea is to preserve or to promote. To preserve or to promote, right? Like how you have a factory, right? The factory will do two things. One is they will prepare. We call it preserve, they will prepare the product, right? And they will have the second person who will be on the road marketing the product. He is promoting. He is marketing the product, and there is one person that is preparing the product. So the same will happen in Deen. One will preserve and one will promote. And both are required. And at every level, right? Like the highest level will be jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah Ta'ala, right? But it doesn't mean that's the only way of preserving and promoting. That's the highest level. But the other levels as well. Right? When there isn't the opportunity of jihad, then that doesn't mean that you can't strive for deen. You strive, but according to the means that are available to you at the time, within your availability, do so much. So, no, khaunga to biryani khaunga, warna bilkul nahi khaunga, to marte rahunga. If I eat, I will eat the actual thing, otherwise I will own anything. Then die then. If you can't do the ideal, then do what is within your capacity. What you can manage, what you can do with your capacity, within your capacity, do it. Now this is a big mistake that many people make. So no, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do the actual thing. But why are you not being Hajj? No, I must become pious, I must become righteous, I must do, then I go for Hajj. Or the intention is good, but the thinking is corrupt, it's flawed. You've got the money, you've got the availability, you must move on for Hajj. Don't wait for that ideal moment. You do not know that you may die in the process. So no, you know, you go into Hajj and you're not right, then the evil effects will remain with you. It's right that the Kaaba Sharif has got a certain khasiyat, certain asar, right? And that asar is endorsed on the person that goes around the Kaaba Sharif. The Hajar Aswad has got that asar, it stamps you, right? But the easy way to overcome that is to go in for the rituals of Hajj. But how are you going? You go in with that frame of mind, that mindset, that I'm coming here, Allah Ta'ala, for my Islam. I don't know it. You correct me. You show me. You correct me. So every step you are overwhelmed with the thought that you want Allah Ta'ala's guidance. You guide me. You take care of me. You guide me. You take care of me. So the thoughts of pride, ostentation, show, and the wrong thoughts will leave you because you are begging Allah Ta'ala's guidance and assistance. You know you aren't right. But because you are not right, therefore you don't want to go for the Faraz Hajj, and the thinking is corrupt. Thinking of is flawed. Many people do it out of respect, or the reason is confused. And the reasoning has to be right. See, when you're talking about striving in the cause of Allah, now it's a very broad subject, very, very broad subject. The narrative or the principle that we have to follow is, we will look into the Quran and the Hadith. In the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will refer to him directly. That I'm in this position, what must I do? So if you get the clear directive from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will take the cue and you will move on. You won't move away from that. Then you won't employ your reasoning against the clear word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You want a clear directive from him, you'll move for that. And if you ever go against it, you're looking for problems. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, he sent to Mu'tah, right? The first war against the Roman Empire, Mu'tah, right? So now he's calculating within his mind that from what is going on, what I hear here, that I will never return back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never return to Medina. Some messages that were going across, that brought him to the conclusion that I'm not going to come back. So he says, when I'm not going to come back, I've got a fast, speedy mount, then I won't get this opportunity of performing my Jummah behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Masjid al-Nabawi, Imam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Jamaat is of Sahaba-i Kiram. So what a best thing. Jummah namaz, the best day of the week, the best Nabi of the entire, of all times, the best people after all the Anbiya, about everything of the best. Now, must I miss this out, and I won't get this opportunity for the rest of my life. Let me read my namaz here behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then proceed. But he used his reasoning against the clear instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes this happen through the Sahaba Kiram, as a precedent, as a lesson. As though the Sahaba Ikram offered themselves, Ya Rasulullah, your deen and your teaching has to be perfected. Although, or we will take a little bit of embarrassment that we made this mistake, but we sacrifice our izzat and everything else for the perfection of your deen. So when there is a flaw in the Sahaba Ikram, the actual intention is to perfect the teaching of the Prophet. That's the intention. They offered themselves, right? So Abu Sufyan spots him after the Jummah. What happened? Yeah, so he gives the explanation. So, well, you will be delayed by 500 years. Your entry into Jannah will be delayed by 500 years. See, that there's a clear directive from Abu Sufyan, do this. Then you will not employ your reasoning. Do it, right? Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, Yadi Bayna Yaday Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Musafa, right? A Musafa also becomes a problem today, because the way of Musafa nowadays is you're touching the fingers. Actually, Musafa is Ilsaqu Safhatil Yadi Bil Yad, the whole palm. And we have now changed it to this. Fingers, you still up for that. Because this is ilsaq safhatil yad. And this is ilsaq al asabi. So you have to make a new word. So he says, my hand was between the Mubarak hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So someone says, no, you see, the Mas'ud, his one hand, he shook with one hand. Why? One hand between the two palms of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is how it will translate, right? So the easy answer to this is, in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you don't take the word or the work of a Sahabi. You don't take the work or the word of the Sahabi in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now here is one hand, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's both hands. Yes, in the absence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's amal or his word, then we will take and go on to the Sahabi what he had to say. But in his presence, we won't move away. Right. So we are talking about this Abdul Rahman going to Multan, right? And his Shaykh told him clearly, in no unclear terms, you move on to Multan. En route, he comes across some type of a pandit or whatever, yogi or something, and the yogi is sending his tawajjuh on this Abdul Rahman. So Abdul Rahman is already reinforced by his sheikh. The tawajjuh is coming from there, and this yogi is making it out that whatever I am sending, this person is just rejecting it. Any person that passes this way, I pass it on to him, and he's receiving. The whole Hinduism, he's accepting. And this man here, I'm passing on that Hinduism, and he is rejecting. So he must be a very strong character for not receiving it, and for me not to be able to permeate into him. See? So these mashayikh, they worked on the muridin, kept them, and they worked on them, right? Made them, gave them that energy, energized them, right? And after they were energized, now you go on. So this yogi leaves his place and he comes to Abdul Rahman. What are you and what do you say? Abdul Rahman, and I say, La ilaha illallah. In the process, he said, La ilaha illallah, with such a darb, with such a strike of the neck, that yogi went off. Right. In the meanwhile, it's a long story, but I'm just going to cut this, I'm just going to show you some important point. Alright, it impacted differently on that yogi. He went off, right? From that yogism of his. And he began to invite towards Islam. But now, Abdul Rahman found that there was a deficiency in that whole, in that mindset of his. In that strength, in that energy that he had acquired. Now it wasn't like what he had received originally. I'm moving, but I don't see that strength. I don't see that power. I don't see that might. Now what is the sensible thing to do, right? See, you've seen the strength, you've seen the power, And when you saw that there was a drop in the power, then what is a sensible thing to do? Now today they say, no, you didn't get it from this ultra, go to the next one. You didn't get from that one, go to the third one. That's what they say, isn't it? Energy, petrol is energy. So you didn't get it from here, then get it from the second one, didn't get it from the second one, go to the third one. So perhaps those people in those days, they were a little bit backwards, you see. So the Rahman, he didn't do all this, he went back to the powerhouse. So the Sheikh shouted at him, who asked you to do tabligh on the way? I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to go to Multan direct. What business you had to do it here? I made a mistake. I slipped up. But you see how the thinking, the reasoning, he's packed him up. He's energized him with a certain type of a strength, a certain type of a mind. Now, the doing is Allah Ta'ala's. But Allah Ta'ala also appreciates that you follow certain systems, right? Follow a system, inshallah, you come through. But you can't be doing your own thing and that system. Right. Now, your ustad is making you hafiz, right? So the ustad that is guiding you through your hifz class, he's got a certain system. This is how you're going to do it. You're going to do 1 page a day, 2 pages a day, 3 pages every day. Then you'll do sabak, then you'll do sabak door, then door. And then you're going to go for qiraat, and you learn tajweed, and this is how you will recite, right? So he'll draw and design the whole package for you, and you go with that plan. But now you see to yourself, having the sabak and sabak door and sabak and door after that, who's going to go through all this whole rigmarole? Let me just do the sabak one shot, alif lam, one last, one shot, I'll do it. Then I'll do my door in my own time. Will that work? His intentions are good. But Allah Pak wants you to follow the system. There's a system that we have drawn out, we have planned out, we have chalked out. You respect the system. Right. Then this will come against the hadith. But lam yashkurin nas, lam yashkurin. You've got some senior now, just follow. Hold on to him. Right. Hold on to him, you will see the light as well. Right. But it's just a matter of time. But now, the problem in this day is, this is the problem, and identifying the problem, is we don't have that level of commitment that is desired. So the thing that can be achieved in 5 months or 4 months, it takes 40 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you're still moving in a circle. See, like I say now, you saw there was a drop in the energy, so you left one, went to the second. Second one, you left it, went to the third. Now you're going in a circle, you can't get it. See. Now that energy is so great, it brings about incredible changes, massive changes. Some person from India was here, so he was talking about Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullahi alayh. See, if he spent one night in a village, he's talking about his own village, right? India, wherever, Gujarat somewhere. He says, our village was loaded with bidat. Right? He had a short program, and some simple things he spoke about, so he had a program for that night. One night. But he is spending that one night cleansed the entire village of all bidat. Khalas. One night. Can you see now? So the level of reception and the level of delivery. Delivery is right. Reception is right. Now you see the change. So the Shaykh now reprimands him, corrects him. I didn't send you for this work. In essence, if you look at what he's done, is it wrong? Can you see it's wrong? He made tabligh, that's what was wrong there. If he made tabligh en route, what was wrong? It wasn't wrong. But it was against the instruction of the Shaykh. Now the Shaykh is looking at this person, he's looking at the vibe, and he's looking that this person is off the course now. With the sight, with the vision of insight. Inside you can see that the person is moving straight, but now he's getting off the course. Now today it's easy to understand these things. With all this new technology, you can make out where the person is, where he's going, he's going on course, off course. So, in that time, they were doing some things, but they were doing it through the mind, they could see it, alright. Was it on course or is off the course? When he's off the course, the Shaykh is finding it difficult to cope now with the person, because he's gone off the course. So he found a drop. When he found a drop, he felt now the right thing is to go back to the powers, and rectify, rather than doing your own thing. See, you know, I spoke about Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu as an example, but rather than doing your own thing, I need to go back. Now the Shaykh keeps him here again for the next 40 days. For this one blunder that he made, he sat him down again for another 40 days. You know, the rectifying. He says, I know it now. So what's the need to keep me in suspense? You know, if you're using your reasoning, I know the thing, I made a mistake, alright. Now what's the need to keep me in suspense? To fix it up, it takes a lot of time. It's not just like that, it's not so easy. I was explaining some Hafiz Ustaz, you know. So the child is reading, he's making a mistake in the tajweed. For example, he says, instead of أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى, he says أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ, right? So one student is telling me, you know, that now look, compare today's methodology against the ancient time. So the student is talking to me, he was with me in Mias Farm. He says, you know what, when I was there in Mias Farm, and I was with Rahman Sahib, I made a mistake. I didn't make the gunna, and that I didn't bring about the nasal sound. You know, you're supposed to say, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ. Rahman Sahib sent me back. And he only gave me a turn after about an hour. You ever think I'll ever make a mistake again? I'll never make, for the rest of my life, I'll make a mistake. I knew myself, just that one mistake I made, and I was sent back 1 hour. I would have covered so many things, but I was sent back 1 hour. Now, I never made a mistake. Now he's telling me, now the mistakes are such, child is making a mistake, or the Ustaz Karim, or أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَرِ مِكْ غُنَّيَا. He's reading the same spot for the second time, again the same mistake. For the 50th time, the same mistake, he's repeating. Why? He was not corrected. But if it's corrected with that procedure, now he doesn't, there isn't a recurrence, there isn't a repetition. So now, these are all methodologies, and every science has a method. And you need to keep yourself conforming. You conform to the method, it happens very easy. You're moving and you're moving with the speed. Now we're talking about consistency, and you're getting the thing, and you're getting it right. But now, one day you're doing it, then you're doing some part of it, you're not doing, some things you're adding of your own, and some things you are attributing it to the Shaykh. Oh no, but the Hazrat Sir must do this. Hazrat Sir must do this. Hazrat didn't say that, you wanted it to be like that, so you gave it an explanation according to your understanding. I'm showing the flaws, right, that you come across. You wanted something to be in a certain way, so the Shaykh said something, but now the way you construe the thing, that you got it the way that you wanted. So now Hazrat said, now you're appeasing yourself and you're seeing everybody else. But you're making a clown of yourself, you don't realize it. You're doing all this, you're making a clown of yourself. If the Hazrat also hears about it, then the confidence breaks. Okay, this person is using my name for his own matlab. So on that side you lost out because you misused Hazrat's name. No, I was given that time of mashwara, so I'm doing it. So partly he's right, partly he's wrong. And he's doing it to appease himself and impress upon others. See. But I see that when he's being dishonest in this manner here, is he going to progress? Not going to progress, because what is required here is a higher level of honesty. يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُونَ. That is why, كُونُ مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. That honesty, the truth. That untruth, that is wrong. Some weeks back, about 8 weeks back, you know, I wouldn't like to do this arbitration or that. One person now, he said, I got a problem with my sons and a big old domestic problem. So anyway, he had a problem with his wife and the son had to represent him. No, the son had to represent his mother. But she wanted to come. I said, well, you don't come. So can my son represent this all right? So it would seem like, you know, you're picking your sides. So he's on Ma Kasab, right? He's on the side of the mother. Father is on the side, one side, mother, the son is taking the side of the mother. Alright. So, whilst the discussion is carrying on, so the father is pointing to that son, says, but you're calling me a liar. Alright, I won't say that you are lying, but that's an untruth. Same thing he said, but this, चक्कर दे करके उसने मुझे सुनाया. Now you don't have to laugh at these people. You're sitting in a mediation. You don't have to laugh at them or to speak to them like gentlemen, right? But this is what I'm showing you. I'm identifying the problem in this day. Sometimes there's no commitment. Sometimes there isn't that level of truth that is required. I say, my personal experience, if you give that commitment like I'm explaining, and you give that honesty, then I feel for many people presently, I think 5 months is too much. They will get that nisbat. Either they give their commitment and they give the truth. Then that 5 months is too much, inshallah, it will happen for them. But they're not doing it. Either kabhi sahi hote hai, kabhi kuch kehte hai, kabhi kuch kar lete hai. And in the whole process, the Shaykh is watching what's going on. The whole drama is watching. It's not for him to go and show you every mistake because you don't have the capacity. If you had the capacity, he could have told you, oh, this is your mistake. This is correct yourself. But you don't have the capacity. He can give you something, and some things he expects you to just move on, to hold on firmly. But they don't have the capacity. So now the same thing that could have been accomplished in 6 months, I was saying 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, but this is a true problem. And I thought this is something restricted to this zamana. Mullah Rum Rahmatullah, his whole book is about the same thing. Commitment. What commitment are you giving to your Shaykh? The Masnavi from the beginning to the end, this is what he's speaking about. So, to the barakat of Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha, I'm giving this whole explanation, right? Now, there's another person, right, who is Qarni Rahmatullah Ali, and Nabi Sallam is instructing him, you remain with your mother and do her khidmat. So is there a greater thing than a sahabiyat? The darja of a sahabi, is there anything greater than that? But then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam listens to his story and says, no, you look after your mother. Take care of her. Now imagine, you know, what a struggle it is. I want to be a sahabi, I want to be by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't want to miss out this opportunity. If I miss this, then what? But then it's a clear instruction that you remain there. You don't come here. Now what do you do? That commitment requires, when I give a commitment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I must be honest. That, Ya Rasulullah, from today, I'm going to listen to you. Then I'm not going to listen to myself, I won't listen to anything. That Qari Amir Hussain was a very great Muslim, right? But I think people didn't realize that he was so great, right? They say, sab kehte hai ke nahi, hum muti farma bardar hai. Haan, muti farma bardar hai. لیکن اپنے نفس کے مطیع فرما بردار ہیں. کہتے ہیں, they say now we are being, we're listening. But they're listening to what? They're listening to the nafs. And they don't realize it, they are listening to the nafs. Right? That is why the hadith speaks about hawan muttaban. Hawa is temptation, right? And temptation will refer to all things that turn you away from obedience. That distract you from your main cause, whatever distracts you, then that's called hawa, right? Sometimes that hawa may be permissible, sometimes it may be haram. But it's distracting you from your cause, right? So that's called hawa, right? As khuda ghafil budan, the words of Rumi Rahmatullah, to be unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. Unmindful of Allah Ta'ala means not to be mindful of His command. What He wants from me, what He desires of me, I must do at that moment, at that time. Now you pull into the room, right? After a whole day now, your wife was pining to look at you, talk to you nicely. And then you just pull in. And as you pull in now, you want to see now, you instead of giving her the attention, now you see what's up. That poor thing, she's sitting there and she's waiting for some attention. And what are you looking for? What's up? I made all this food, I fed you nicely. I wanted some attention. Now at that time, to be with Allah Ta'ala requires that you be with your wife at that time. You give her that attention. That time requires that you be with your wife. Even if it is that you have to look at some kitab, but now she works for you, she struggles for you the whole day, or the whole month, and now you come here and you show her a disregard, then this is also as khuda ghafil budan. At that time, she required your attention. She deserved your attention. When she deserved your attention, you didn't give it to her, then that was your own. Outwardly it may seem that you have done an act of piety and righteousness. But what did the time demand? What did it demand? That you give her some attention, some time, some love. This is what it required. Now, in your own mind, you are trying to calculate what is right and what is wrong, then this was incorrect. See, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, maybe some explains to him. لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. Everybody's got a right. فَآتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. At that time your wife needed you. At that time your guest needed you. The guest came into your house, so he just left the tea there, and you went to read lengthy namaz, lengthy rakats of namaz, was that the right thing? Your guest is there, right? So لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. So now your guest has a right over you. The right thing now, give him some attention, make him feel happy, respect him, show him some ikram. This is what he requires. Right? Unless now that guest is overplaying his role. Sometimes you get that situation also, that the guest is overplaying his part. He knows that he must be here, and he must be here for a certain time, and then he must move on. Now the man came for 3 days, and he's stretching out the host for the 4th day, 5th day, 6th day, 7th day. Now, the mezban and the host is feeling really, really constrained. By the 3 days, that's the limit. We give you 3 days now, they can't say it. He's feeling a little bit difficult to say it. See, now the sick person also, he's also got a right. So you go and visit him. And now you go there and you sit there for good. He's not feeling comfortable. He wants to do something, he wants to turn around, perhaps he wants to release some gas, he wants to do something, but now you're sitting there for an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. But the man is sick. No consideration. One person is meeting, I don't know if it was Ibn Sirin or whoever, he was feeling too well on that day. He came to visit him. So as he comes to visit him, now he's sitting there, not moving. So you see now the next guest is coming and the third guest is coming. So this guest that came to visit, he says to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi, that this aane wala ko koi thikana nahi hai. He is coming like a flood becoming a man. Must I lock the door? Must I lock the door? So Ibn Sirin is finding it difficult, so he says, lock it from the outside. Consideration, a little bit of consideration, respect, now who came? What will be his taqaza, what will be the need, right? Understand all these things. That is called fuququllah. When you respected the person, understand, right? That's what Hazrat Ibn Hamza used to say. The most difficult thing to do today is aadmi banna. Sheikh banna asan hai, kutub banna asan hai, these are his words. Mufti banna asan hai, hafiz banna asan hai, qari banna asan hai. Lekin jo kaam mushkil hai, aadmiyat seekhna. What does it require of you to make a man? And that man means that at what time, what are you supposed to be doing? How are you supposed to be behaving? How are you supposed to be conducting yourself at that time? That's called admiyat. In Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, they got a story of Juraij, right? You know, you talk of admiyat, become an insan. Sab kuch ho gaya, lekin aadmi bhi bane. You came everything else, but you learned how to become an admi. And our ulama are impressed, why is it so important to learn admiyat? Because see, for example, you didn't excel too much in ibadat, right? But you learned admiyat, what it requires to become a man, then the spill-off will be that you won't hurt anybody. You won't hurt your wife, you won't hurt your child, you won't hurt your parents, you won't hurt anybody, right? Because that hurt that goes to a person, man is man after all, he's got feelings. When he's got feelings, it takes him time to forget. If you hurt the person, it takes him time. Your wife is there, but you're not talking. I will tell one person, very good person at heart, in his behavior is very good, right? He comes to me and he says, you know, I'm from Durban, moved on to Free State, and I'm very regular in my Jamaat. What's your age? 24. When you got married, just about 1 year or so. I said, no, boy, if you know what's good for you, you become back to Durban. So why big Jamaat work that side there and committed, there's nobody that's doing work in that area. So I asked him, alright, you're 24, what's your wife's age? 18, right? You go out for 3 days, for example, right? For the first few months you could have kept your wife by your friend's house. But you can't do it as a routine. Because he'll feel difficult afterwards, obviously. For the first time he doesn't mind, second time he doesn't mind. But the third time then it becomes a parva issue. But you're just pushing over there and moving on. Right? And number two, you're trying this also, perhaps, that you left her all alone, an 18-year-old girl, right? You left her all alone in a place that is foreign to her because she doesn't know people around. And meanwhile, she's listening to news, someone got mugged, someone got hijacked, someone is killed here, someone is murdered that side, and she's living in this house all herself. But out of her respect, her self-respect, she's not complaining. She's thinking, oh, this person is going out in Jamaat for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and I need to make the sacrifice. But in the meanwhile, mentally, psychologically, is she hurting herself or not? Ask yourself, is she hurting herself? And with all the complications that you get nowadays, you know, health problems and all that, suddenly there's nobody around. So you come back, and you can continue with your Jamaat work, but the day that you want to go, leave her at her mother's place. Now she's got some surrounding around to keep her feel, to feel, make her feel comfortable. You are comfortable, she is comfortable. Do the work. But now, you want her for your convenience, and then when you want to go in Jamaat, then you want to inconvenience her, you admit me. Do the work. Now you speak to a person, when he doesn't have that understanding of this, you know, Jamaat ke khilaf hai. By admiya sikho, learn to be an admi. What does it require? If it was your daughter, for example, she was left in one house, big house, all alone, at the age of 17, 18. This man is gone for 40 days or 33 days. How would you feel? And you can't say anything because it's your son-in-law, so you're afraid that there may be some problem with the marriage. But is that the sensible thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? Now, is tarah se jamaat ke naam ko kharab karte hai. They spoil the name of the jamaat. They're not making mashwara, thing, doing that. No, I must sacrifice. I must do. Yeah, sacrifice, but go with mashwara. So this Uwais Qarni, rahmatullah alayhi, he also, who doesn't have that urge to go and meet Nabi Sallam, to be living with him, to have that title of Sahabi, best after Nabi Sallam is a Sahabi, who doesn't want that title? But he also feels, no, I mustn't employ my reasoning, listen to Nabi Sallam. Mus'ab bin Umair, radiyallahu, you go to Medina, and you go and teach there. So right, he's not going to do jihad for that time, not going to do anything, he's not going to make hijrah, whatever. Yeah, he's going to be stuck in Medina for 2 years until the arrival of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So your jihad and your work and your mehnat will be just to do khidmat, just to teach people here. See that? All instructions, right? Can you see that? Had Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu, you know, they talk about Ashab al-Fadail, you know, the darajat of fazilat. First they say those that participate in Badr, then Uhud, then Bayatul Ridwan, etc. This is how they'll give that whole ranking, right? So now, the first major encounter is Badr. So Ashab al-Badr is about the greatest, right? That's why you read the name of the Badriyin and make dua. It's one of the ways to get your duas answered, right? But Nabi Sallam is instructing him, oh Usman, you will stay back in Medina and look after your wife, Ruqayya radiyallahu anha. Dekho admiyat. He can obtain that fazilah that I was in Badr and I fought on the side of Nabi Sallam. But it's a clear instruction, you remain here. Do you think Usman's virtue went anywhere less? In fact, when they count the Badriyin, they count the Usman radiyallahu anha. Because by the instruction of Nabi Sallam, he remained here. Now the question is, when Nabi Sassam is not around, then what do we do? Then it's the second step. The second step is that we look at his teaching. In the circumstance we are, and if we find an absolute clear directive in the teachings, then we go with his teaching. It's a clear directive. Absolute clear. There's no, nothing ambiguity, nothing contradictory. Right? Like, for example, read namaz on its time, right? Read the namaz on its time. Anything contradictory, no. Read namaz on its time, you will perform your namaz, Fajr namaz, Zuhr namaz, on its proper time, on the mustahab time. So there's nothing contradicting. So if there is a situation where there is no contradiction, then you will take the hadith. No problem, right? Because there is no contradiction. Someone will say, Norman, even in the Oqat al-Salah, there is so much of ihtilaf. Right. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah is saying, Zuhar namaz was read at awwal waqt. And Imam Abu Hanifa is saying, was read in Isfar. Isn't there ikhtilaf in that? Or let's look at a situation where there is no ikhtilaf. Al-Azhar Ji should say, ye ulama ke saath baat karna bada mushkil hota hai. But they got all the ishkalat in their mind. Now you can just send it one time, one shot. You have to talk about it and you can understand now someone has got some ishkal in his mind. You have to answer that ishkal as well. So let's look at a situation where there is no contradiction, absolutely no contradiction, right? Alright. Mutawaffa minha zawjuha, right? Woman lost her husband, right? She'll serve her iddah for how many days? 4 months and 10 days, 130 days, isn't it? Any contradiction that? No contradiction now. So there's a clear cut directive from the Quran or the Hadith, you'll go by it. Then you don't have to listen to anybody. But if there is nothing that is clear, or there are proofs that are contradictory, then you will not employ your reasoning. Go to someone that has specialized in that. He specialized in that. This was his field. This was his forte. He assigned himself to learning all this thing here. One is righteous himself, and he specialized in this. Then you don't use your own reasoning. You will go to him. I ask you, if we follow right procedure, will there be a problem with Ummah today? The problem is because we're not following procedure. Anything comes to my mind, I want to shoot. Anything comes to your mind, you want to give it. So the more we will use our own reasoning, the more conflict, the more contradictions. But if it is that we got some procedure, some way to think, reason, all that is covered, everything is cleared. Sometimes I explain to the students, when you learn something, this is a haq, right? Then hold on to it very firmly. Because it becomes difficult, you must come back to it, right? You heard of it, for example, right? A simple concept is everything that is material, that is going to, if it's material, then you will move away from it. At some point or the other, anything that is material, then you'll have to move away from it, right? But the only thing that doesn't move away is Allah Ta'ala. Everything besides Allah Ta'ala, kullu shayin ma siwallah za'il. Everything is going to move away, right? So when you have learned the concept and you understood it, now then grasp onto it, hold on to it. The thing that doesn't move away is Allah Ta'ala himself. Everything else moves away. Comes and goes. Now you learned the thing, now hold on to it firmly. Now 10 years later, now you're learning tawakkul again. Because when in that first encounter when that lesson was taught to you, then you didn't grasp onto it, you didn't hold on to it. You just took it as a theory. Ye bhi karna hai. You just kept it as a theory. 1-2 days you practice it and then you forgot about it, right? So now you come back to it, now you have to practice it again, learn the whole thing again. But the first day when this thing was taught to you, then you held on to it, no, everything else besides Allah Ta'ala is going to move away. Sooner or later it's going to move away. Then the sensible thing is to hold to that. If it doesn't move, then every day I'm holding to it firm. So I don't need to be explained and advised for the second time. Otherwise I'll come back to the sabak. Because your sabak wasn't right, therefore your sabak door wasn't right, therefore your door is not right. See that, how it works. The sabak was right, then the sabak door goes right, and the door goes right. So the first encounter, hold it very firm. Hold it very firm, and the lesson in tasawwuf becomes so easy after that. So the second level is you refer to this class of people. Then in this class of people you have, in this work you have two branches, right? One are those things that are related to the zahir. Everything is related to the zahir. Then those ulama that have specialized in the zahir, you will refer to them, alright. You have specialized in the zahir, you know about the zahir, let me refer to you. And then there will be those that have specialized in the batin. If it's a batin issue, then we go and refer to the one that is specialized in the batin. But because the person knows a zahir, therefore I say, no, it is understood that he must know the batin, and the reasoning is not right. He may know some of the principles that are taught, but he doesn't know, he doesn't have a grasp. When he doesn't have a grasp of the thing, then he won't know how to apply himself. He'll create a problem for himself, he'll create a problem for others. I think it was in Roorkee or in Meerut, right? One Buzruk, right, pious person, doesn't mean he's a sheikh, but he's a pious person. Now he went into a state of despondency, right? He felt that there wasn't a gunegar like himself. So he went deep into this. So now the thought is building up in him, you know, I am gunegar. Then the thought just escalated. As it's escalating now, the thought reached the point where he thought that I am a shaitan. Because there is a person as worse as myself, and the worst person is shaitan. So if I have excelled shaitan, then I'm really, I am a shaitan then. So this thought is escalating. In the meanwhile, he went to the masjid now to go and endorse this thought of his by some alim that is teaching big kitabs here. He's in a big kitabs here, went to the masjid and mentioned his spiritual condition that I am shaitan. So when he said I am shaitan, so this great alim that was sitting here teaching big serious kitabs, he says, if you are shaitan, then a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So when he said this, they endorsed it that I am shaitan, therefore they asking refuge against me. Now he's endorsed it. So he came back to his apartment that was being shared by him and his khadim. So he said this to his khadim, say, I am shaitan, so I am going to slaughter myself, right? Agar isme kuch kasar reh gaya, tum usko pura kar dena. I'm going to slaughter myself, and if there's anything, you know, I miss out a little bit, you have to cut 3 veins to get it out, you see. So now if I make a mistake in the whole procedure, then you must just see that it's complete. So, alright. So Khadim Bawafa, faithful Khadim, so he saw that the Sheikh did some mistake in the cutting, so he had to cut the whole thing off. Now in the meanwhile, the police got word of it, they came to make the investigation. They heard that this Khadim also was also responsible. The Khadim said, see, what's the point of living when my Sheikh is dead? No point. Gladly I will offer myself to be executed. That time they were roping people and all that, right? Gladly I will offer myself to be roped. What's the point? But understand the whole case, so thereafter you can take the decision of your choice. This is what happened. So he showed exactly how it happened from the beginning right to the end. So the investigation officer had to go to the sheikh that was teaching that high kitab in the masjid. So now this happened, and this is what I said. So the case was now, it was cleared. They cautioned him and they threw out the case. Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah, that is the founder of Darul Deoband, one of the greater teachers of Mawlana Thana, because Mawlana Thana says, my whole knowledge revolves around 3 personalities. Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah, Mawlana Yaqub Sahib, and Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah. These are the 3 people. People say, I wrote 1,000 kitabs. Which kitabs you studied? I studied these 3 kitabs. But you know, I said commitment. So this was the thing that was in them, that what they learned and who they learned from, they were committed, absolutely commitment. So they took everything. That commitment brought all the fruits and barakat. Right. So when Yaqub Sahib, when he heard about this story, he said, you know, had I been Christian, I would have given a different answer altogether. So Muhammad, that was his, like a favorite student, he asked him, how you would have answered the person? Now this is what I'm saying. See, that understanding, the depth of understanding, the grasp. He may have had the book knowledge, theoretical knowledge, but has he acquired the flavor, the essence of the whole thing? So I said, if I was in that position, I would have said, when he said shaitan, main to shaitan ho gaya hun, I would have said, shaitan bhi to usi ka tha. Shaitan also is his. Shaitan is also his. So Mawlana objected. Now he's a student, so the student can ask the ustaz. He belongs to Allah Ta'ala, but the relationship is of enmity, not of a friendship. So the ustaz explained, when I would have told him that Shaitan bhi usi ka tha, his mind wouldn't have gone to this. Because he's down, right? And I'm saying, Shaitan bhi usi ka tha. Now you would have jumped. Hey, Shaitan also belongs to Allah Ta'ala, to the beloved. His mind would have gone in the other direction. In the meanwhile, he would have come out of the despondency, then I would have been able to drive and maneuver him. But now you see, this requires a little bit of sight, vision, understanding, how to work with the person. So one person I'm explaining, one person, Nabi Sam is saying, you go out, you go straight out in jihad. Other person is telling, no, you remain. You have been Amr ibn Nas, you must spend time with your wife, right? Other person will go and teach. But you see, everybody is getting the instructions from Rishab and they are doing as they are being instructed. Right? They committed. Then after this, they are not moving. And in the old, this was, I feel to myself, I am very convinced about it, that this was the difference, right? Look at Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, right? He is advised by his ustad Ishaq ibn Rahiwi about doing something in hadith, right? See, I got this advice from my ustad, I held on to it. I prepared this kitab, right? Now, this is about the most widely read kitab up to this day. Most accepted, most recognized, most respected kitab in hadith, Imam Bukhari Hamra's kitab, right? But then, this is also a result of him taking the mashwara of his ustad personally and committing himself. He committed. I took call from my ustad, this is what he instructed me to do, and I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to hold on to it very firmly. Right to the end. So you see the acceptance Allah Ta'ala gives you. But where it starts from. You see the starting point and how it progresses thereafter. Okay, it goes on and on and on. And he didn't live very long. I think he must have lived about 63, 64 years of age. And he left. But then that his khidmat, his service is remembered to this day. Every madrasa, every university talks about him. But where did this come from? This commitment. So Allah Ta'ala likes this. See this commitment, wafadari, faithfulness. We're talking of Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's the ustad of Hazmat, Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Talks about him. Very generously talks about him. Repeatedly. So, Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi is to explain. He says, ek to hai wafadar, lekin hai wo naqis. He's faithful, he's loyal, but he is somewhat deficient. You can see he's not so intelligent. Something he doesn't know, right? But overall he's very faithful. He's very, very faithful. Aur dusra hai kamil, lekin bewafa. Other one is, he is very intelligent, super intelligent, knows everything, right? But he doesn't have the level of commitment. He doesn't have the level of faithfulness, loyalty. He doesn't have that. So he says that this person that is a little deficient, but he is wafadar. He is very, very loyal, very committed. He is focused, he is committed. And he is far better than this person here. That he is intelligent, that knows everything, but he doesn't give you the commitment, he doesn't give you the loyalty, he doesn't give you that faithfulness. So this is what Allah wants. Loyalty with a cheer. Loyalty, but with cheer. You're giving the loyalty. You're doing it with pleasure of the heart. But you're doing it with pleasure. Allah says, now shut your eyes, don't see. Now you shut your eyes, right? And as a mark of loyalty, for example, as a mark of loyalty, and there was a mistake on the phone, for example, then you feel so down. Allah, I broke the loyalty with you. When you feel so down, what will be the reaction? Says, break this thing here. Won't you say that? Because of the loyalty. But if there wasn't that level of loyalty, Allah, you know, we are human now, we make mistakes, so Allah, you are fool right now. And you're covering up so nicely, conveniently for yourself. But if you have that level of loyalty, then you will have reacted in that way. So now, how could I do such a stupid thing? Allah, with so much of struggle, I came up to Allah, coming up to him, And then this stupid thing here, it broke up my whole relationship. Now my mind is wandering, haram. Now you see, no, I don't want to compromise this. Well, you see how this loyalty will work. Right. If you go up to your wife, you know, and say, you know, you're lucky that I got you, because there's 100 girls waiting for me. Right. That's one response. Right. One way to address it, you know, lucky that you got me, right? And the other way to say it, you know, I'm so lucky that I got a person like you, you know. So lucky that I got a person like you, you know. Otherwise, there were other women as well. But a person like you, where are you going to get? In a million you can't get a woman like you. So you see, you turn the whole thing around. What is reflecting royalty and what is showing dishonesty? What is showing? See, that second one is showing loyalty. No, you know, I'm lucky that I got a person like you. There's so many women there, but I don't see that level of royalty, commitment in them as I see in you. See the happiness. Now, the husband may not be too handsome. He may not be a glorious person. You know. But when he says these type of words, doesn't it strengthen the bond? So the same way, when you're talking to Allah like this, you're behaving like this, then the bonding is different. But I'm doing a lot of things, but you don't show that level of commitment, that level of bond, that level of commitment, and you want that special bonding with Allah Ta'ala. Can it work?